Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to check us out live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It is the Odd Couple. I'm Chris Broussard alongside my partner,
Rob Parker.
And we're coming to you live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studio.
We'll do it live.
Call 1-888-FARMERS to switch. And you could save an average of $470 a year on your car insurance. That's a whole lot of money for a quick phone call. That's the average national savings per year from survey data July to December 2020.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Take that for data.
Yes, indeed. All right, speaking of data, we got our man James Posey. I don't know what that has to do with data, but James Posey coming up.
Are you
at the bottom of the
stuff?
Hour.
Just making up stuff that doesn't even really go together.
I'm used to saying it. So James Posey will join us. He's a three-time NBA champion. Also host of the Posecast podcast, on basketballnews.com. All right, Rob, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you, Mr. Chris Broussard?
I'm great, man. I am well. I cannot complain.
So of course, you know, like I told you I've been doing a lot of stuff, getting stuff organized. So I wanted to go join Chris. You know, I'm a clear member at the airport. Are you clear?
Right. Yeah, I got clear too.
If you travel a lot, clear is just the best. I mean, basically, ask yourself, would you want to pay $20 to skip the line? Right, Chris? That's really, to me.
Right.
Right? Would you pay $20 to skip the line or whatever?
What's the other one?
The TSA.
TSA.
Which is cheaper, but you still got to get in line.
You don't think that's better? I don't do TSA. Don't you get to go ahead?
No, you don't get to go ahead.
Line, but you just don't have to take off your stuff.
Your stuff.
Oh, really?
That's the difference.
Oh, yeah. Okay, then clear it.
So, but it's funny that you say that because I had an appointment for TSA today. So I get there at the appointment because I wanted both, Chris. Now I won't have to take my stuff off and jump the line.
Oh, wow. That's
not bad.
So you did that?
So they, no, of course, the one day I have my appointment, the computer system was down. So I was like,
wow.
See,
that's why I don't have TSA at this point. Because I was like, wait, I got to set up an appointment?
Yeah.
Can I come like a couple hours before a flight? You know what I'm saying? And
right.
Do it then? No, you got.
No, and then I have another one for Global Entry. Have you ever heard of that? Global Entry?
No.
There's another one, Chris. And guess what?
What's the benefit of that one?
That's the same thing where you don't have to go through, you know, like the agent when you come in from out of the country. You just go straight through.
Wow.
So it's worth it. I'm doing that, and I got an appointment for that, and that's at the airport in Detroit. That's the only airport I can do it at.
Wow.
They didn't have one in L.A. Can you imagine them not having an office in L.A.? Okay.
Yeah, that's it. All right.
Those are my woes for the day.
We are the Odd Couple. All right, we're going to get right into this. Let's introduce the crew, DJ Alex Tyshirt, a.k.a. Alex the Vegan on the ones and the twos on the Tyshirt Tuesday. Also, what, Rob? This is a
Trash Talking Tuesday, as always.
Wow.
Your chance to trash anyone, anything in the world of sports.
That's right. That's the third hour of the show, so get your takes ready. Just come strong. All right, we got super producer Rob G running things. And on the updates, a surprise for Tuesday, the Heisman himself, Steve Desager.
The best update guy in the history of network sports talk radio. Steve DeSager.
Flattery has already got you nowhere with DeSager.
I'm just saying, he's as good as it gets.
Time.
He knows base. He knows all the sports. He goes to games. I don't even know.
You saying Brian Finley doesn't know all the sports?
Hey.
No. He's faking his way through.
Let's get right into this. Rob G, I got to ask you before we do we have the Brad Daugherty sound? Okay. Rob, we have talked about it before to a small degree. Now we're going to really dive in. James Harden, the year started in a crazy manner for him. Trade demand. Russell Westbrook didn't want to play with him anymore. He didn't want to play with Westbrook anymore. He didn't want to play in Houston anymore. Comes out, drops, 44 in his first game. Just killing it the first few games.
In a fat suit.
And Houston's like, oh, cool.
In a fat suit, don't forget that.
Right. And Houston's thinking, oh, he going to ball like this? Then we just won't trade him. And so he finally says, you know what? For them to trade me, I'm going to have to lighten up a little bit.
Act
a fool.
And so
his number goes down. Now check this out. He still averaged 24 and 11 assists, close to 11, 10 and a half assists with Houston. But he played 8 of 9 games, kind of dogged it for a few of them, even though he put up numbers. And he got traded. And since he's been in Brooklyn, he has been lighting it up. So much so, last night he goes for 30, 15, was it 15 rebounds or 15 assists? It was 30 points, 15 assists, and 14 rebounds.
Ridiculous.
His seventh triple-double.
Ridiculous.
In 22 games with
the Nets. How about this?
Nets.
The most triple-doubles for a Nets player in history?
In a season, you mean?
In a season. Right. He's already passed it, Chris.
Well, Kidd had 12 in a season.
I thought they said he only had 6.
Mm-mm.
From what I read. Okay.
12.
So
he will pass that in short order. But he will pass that. But yeah, so he is lighting it up so much so that Brad Doherty, and for you youngsters, Rob, because the youngsters probably don't know, Brad Doherty was a heck of a player.
He had a bad hairline, but he could ball out, Chris.
What they used to say, he had a three head or something?
This is true.
Head? They made fun.
No,
yeah, he had a
but his hairline.
He was never going to go bald. He didn't have
his
to
hairline
about that.
Almost touched his eyebrows. That's how close his hairline. Seriously, he didn't have a forehead, Chris.
That's what they said. He had a three head or two
right.
head.
Right. It wasn't
that.
A forehead because I'm telling you, his hairline was right above his eyebrows. It was unbelievable.
Yes, but he was a really good player. Played with Michael Jordan at North Carolina, then went to the Cleveland Cavaliers and did damage, did work, and a back injury. I was the beat writer for the Cavaliers the year he retired.
Really?
A back injury, yeah, he had bad discs in his back and had to retire. But he was, Rob, he was probably on pace for a Hall of Fame career.
He was about 29.
Right. For his 8 years or whatever he ended up
Some
playing.
Of the millennials probably know him, Chris, for the
NASCAR.
You know, he's a NASCAR announcer.
Right.
Like this 7-foot tall basketball player.
Did you ever work with him at the old network?
I saw him in the halls, but I never worked. I worked with him on several shows.
Good guy. Really a lot of fun. Good guy. And but anyway, he's talking basketball somewhere. And here's what he said about James Harden.
I take back anything bad or negative I said about James Harden. James Harden.
What? No. You can still say it.
James Harden is the best player in the NBA. He may be the best offensive player I've ever seen. I'm telling you. He is at a whole – now I know the playoff stuff and all that. He is – it's unbelievable. His numbers – are gotten so easily. And I was watching the game and I was thinking back to watching him with Houston when he was kind of going at about 65-70% and still scoring 30. I'm telling you, man, this guy is unbelievable. And I think he is absolutely the best player in the NBA.
Mm. Those are huge words. It, for several reasons, Rob. Number one, he called him the best player in the world. Number two, this is a guy that faced Michael Jordan many times, played with Michael Jordan at North Carolina, and faced him several times in the NBA. And let me say this to all those out there, because there's a lot of people, Rob, probably aren't even watching some of the games, and they're just looking in the box score. And Kyrie's playing tremendously. But if you just look at the numbers, you might say, well, Kyrie's playing better. He's the leading scorer. You know, with Durant.
Nah, James is doing everything.
Harden is playing. He is looking like one of the best point guards we've ever seen.
I totally, Chris, because you know I've been focused in on that Brooklyn team. Every chance I get a chance to watch them, I do, and I'm always, you know, trying to see how it fits. You know, even without Durant and Harden has been tremendous. I'm telling you, I don't even recognize this guy from the guy who played in Houston, and I'm dead serious. I
remember him at OKC, and he showed playmaking ability, unselfishness, all great passing skills. And he showed him in Houston at the time. Remember, he led the league in assists
My vision of him is just taking these threes and, you know, drawing the fouls and just like holding on to the ball, dribble, 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 dribble,
right.
dribble, dribble, put up a three. That's not where he is, Chris. And if you're the Nets organization, ownership, coaching staff, you are ecstatic. Are you kidding that a guy of that caliber could come, join in, and do what they've been doing? Which is they've lost one game. They lost a game where only Harden played, right? What was that game?
They've won 10 of their last 11 9 of their last 10.
Something like that.
16-6 in his 22 games with the Nets. And remember, a lot of that is without Durant.
Those three have only played seven games.
So it is phenomenal what he's doing. I think, Rob, and I'm an MVP voter, he's right there. I think LeBron, Harden, and Joel Embiid, not in that order, but those are the three front runners. I don't know an order at this point. I mean, you don't need one at this point of the season.
But he's in the conversation.
Oh, my God.
He's in the conversation. And you know what? You said it. I think he's still below because of what Harden is doing. But you mentioned it before. Kyrie's balling out. He's been, Chris, since he came back. I know he's missed a couple games.
I think he's playing just like he did before he left.
But he's playing
he's been great the whole season when he's there.
No, right, no doubt. Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, when at first coming back, people were wondering where his head would be after the layoff or whatever. He's just picked up, you're right, where he left off. It's been fun to watch.
Yeah, and the question now, and I was on First Things First this morning debating with Nick Wright. Nick Wright wants to believe he feels like Harden is basically disqualified for MVP because of what the 4 or 5 games he dogged it in Houston. And I get it. If it's nip and tuck and close, that could be something, you know, you hold against him. Well, this guy played all 82 hard, whatever. But to think that disqualifies him, I'm sorry, it doesn't. It was like 4 or 5 games. It wasn't a quarter of the season. It certainly wasn't half of the season. And if the Nets continue to play at this pace, Rob, continue to decimate the other elite teams in the league, and he continues to be the key. And he's the key because his unselfishness, Rob, him going there, immediately taking the third most amount of shots behind Kyrie and KD. He set a tone, and then playing point guard, not playing two. He set a tone of unselfishness, and you're watching them. They all make the extra pass.
All of them.
And now role players are touching the rock. I mean, heck, last night this dude named Nick Claxton, who I have no idea. I know. Somebody named Nicholas Claxton dropped like 21 or 19 or something.
But
everybody's getting open looks.
They get open looks, and they're getting the ball. Chris, they're open. The ball is coming their way. That's what I'm saying. If you're the coaching staff and you're Steve Nash and those guys, you got to be like, dude, I'm loving this. You got to be loving it because you just mentioned it. All kinds of guys, Harris, all these guys are coming up with big games. It ain't just those two or three. And Durant's been out, hasn't missed a beat. When that guy comes back after the All-Star break, there'll be a few nights when they don't play well and they lose. But they're not going to lose that often, Chris. I don't think they will.
And that's the thing. Both you and I are like, look, if they run through the second half of the season, really put a ton of distance between themselves and whoever's second place in the East, it's going to be hard to hold the MVP trophy away from James Harden. And we'll see. Like I said, I think LeBron's still very much in the hunt, Joel Embiid, and we'll see if anybody else jumps up. There's 35 games or so left. But right now, that dude is very much in the conversation, we believe. So let's see what you guys think. 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. Should the way James Harden forced his way out of Houston, the way he threw his teammates under the bus, the way he dogged it for a few games, should that work against him in the MVP voting? Or better yet, should it keep him from winning the MVP award under any circumstances? Your turn to weigh in with Chris and Rob, the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker, weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
All right, you're tuned into The Odd Couple. Chris Broussard, Rob Parker. We're coming to you live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. Call Farmers today for a quote. 877-99 on Fox. It's your turn to weigh in. Should James Harden be penalized in the MVP race for what happened in Houston? And better yet, should he be disqualified altogether from it? Your turn to weigh in, The Odd Couple.
All right, let's kick it off with Francois in Rochester, New York. You're on The Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. What's up?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Doing great.
Good, brother. How are you?
I'm doing well. Can't complain. I actually am calling because I got a little bone to pick with Chris Bouchard.
Uh-oh. All Chris, right, what'd you do?
Just be ready because I pick back.
No, you're fine. You're fine. You're my favorite and his favorite commentator. I watch you all the time. But I called in last week and was the first to say that James Harden was the MVP. And I heard you on First Things First saying, I was the first to say it. Last week, you guys were talking about the Nets and him being the MVP of the Nets. I called him and was like, no, he's the MVP of the league. And he's
I remember that.
Exactly,
Chris, give him credit.
I don't remember all that. I don't. I remember him calling in, but I don't know if he said it before we talked about it.
But I remember.
I don't
we
know
did,
if you
yeah.
know what I mean. I do remember a call where, you know, we were talking about him being MVP of the Nets. I feel like we were like, he might be the MVP of the league too.
Right, the way that he was playing, we did put it out there. We did.
Right. I think he called up and said it too, but we had said he's the MVP of the Nets and he might just be the MVP of the league. You know what I'm saying?
If they keep playing the way that they're playing, right.
So we weren't stealing your shine, but
no, but we appreciate that. Yes, Francois, appreciate it. Paul in Colorado, you're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Paul?
Hey, guys, how you doing? I love listening to your show.
Thank you, buddy.
Man. Thank you.
Hey, I just got a couple things. I just think, you know, the character has to play, I think, a little bit of a role in the MVP voting. But then my second point is, if you took James Harden off the Nets, how much better would the Nets be if, say, you took Embiid off the Sixers or LeBron out of the Lakers? That's all I got.
Well, I do agree that, and Rob, this generally does work against guys. You know, if you have even one other superstar, let alone two, it generally works against you. But there are incidents. LeBron won two of his MVPs with Wade and Bosh. Kareem won his last one with Magic because Magic was a rookie.
No, it doesn't
but
mean
Magic
you're automatically.
Magic won some with
right.
Kareem. He won three, at least two with Kareem of his three. Bird won three in a row with Mikal and Parrish. You know what I'm saying? So I hear him. But number one, Rob, Durant hasn't been playing. If Durant had been playing this whole time, we probably aren't thinking of Harden this way because even though he'd be playing great, you know, maybe Durant would be even playing better. You know,
Chris,
like it would be different.
You're spot on. That makes a huge difference. They haven't missed him.
Right.
And Harden is the reason why. That's why you could look at him. Okay, so right. Now they're winning all these games. And if Durant comes back and they're unbeatable, right?
Right, right.
Then you Absolutely. Go, look. They were winning before Durant got back, and now they're winning at an even higher clip. So he can still look good if he still puts up those numbers, Chris. I really believe that. Let's go to Chuck in Kentucky. You're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio.
Everything's not funny.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Chuck? Man? Chuck, where in Kentucky are you?
Man, I'm in this small town. Probably never even heard of it. Princeton,
Kentucky. Yeah, I don't know where that is.
I have not.
You know, I used to live in Kentucky. I'm a Kentucky guy. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah. No, it's all good in Kentucky, man.
All right. So what you got?
What you got?
No, I think James Harden is playing killer this year. I mean, he's taking it to a whole nother level. And you know, I think with the right combination, you get the right fit of people and things. Good things happen, especially with the coach. But you know, the situation with Houston, you know, I kind of feel like if you remember, like when Kobe Bryant had things like coming up against him and. All he did was just play his way right out of that stuff. And, you know, people kind of, in a sense, forgot about it because he was just playing so well and become one of the greatest in the league. And Harden's just, he's out there just dominating. So I think people are going to quickly forget, you know, this stuff whenever, I mean, he continues to do what he do. You can see his name right up there at the top of the list.
I agree. I mean, Rob, beginning of the year, at least when he first got to Brooklyn, I certainly wasn't thinking of him as an MVP candidate. And I may have even said, had somebody asked me at that point, oh, with the way he left Houston, no, he won't get it. But he's playing so well. At the end of the day, it's about who's playing the best basketball. And he is.
But see, even I'm going to say this, but Nick Wright, even his statement that he should be disqualified, you could tell he's not an NBA writer, Chris, because that doesn't disqualify you. Do you know what I mean? To just automatically say he's disqualified because in five games in Houston, he forced his way out, he was overweight, and you look at that. No, it's actually the other way, that he got himself back to where he was and elevated his game, changed his game, and became the MVP of a team that already had two stars before he got there. I think it's a more compelling story, to be honest, Chris.
I mean, look, I get why people can be upset. Oh, he quit on his team. It was a few games. And at the end, are we going to hold it against Anthony Davis? You know, I mean, Carmelo Anthony, Rob. Remember, Carmelo Anthony and Anthony Davis, let's keep it real. They ruined a whole season for
Thank
their
you.
Teams.
Keep going.
Melo ruined a season in Denver. And that was a good team, Rob. Anthony Davis ruined an entire season in New Orleans. James Harden were four or five games. That's it. And so, you know, the next year, is there a grace period? Is it just that season? Is it forever, the rest of your career, that you're penalized? What? So, yeah, we're on the same page with this one. All right, we got James Posey coming up next. But first,
be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Three-time NBA champion, has really done it all at different levels in the NBA. Was a player, great player. Like I said, won championships. Also was a coach in the league, an assistant coach. And now he's the host of the Posecast on basketballnews.com. James Posey, welcome to the Odd Couple, brother. How are you?
What's happening?
I'm good. What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
We are great, man. Great to have you on Pose. And Rob
Thanks for
and
having
I
me.
were just discussing how we believe James Harden is right in the mix of the MVP race
Despite
with LeBron
all
and
the
with
talent.
Joel Embiid and all that.
Right.
And there are those that think the way he left Houston, and we know he kind of dogged it for four or five games, that pretty much should disqualify him from winning MVP this year. Do you think that should work against him? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, unfortunately, that's the nature of the business where players, you know, they could take that route to sort of get what they want. I wish he hadn't done it that way, but it worked out in his favor. But in doing so, changing teams and the amount of eyes that's going to be on the, you know, the Nets, you know, he has to play and he's going to have to win now. And I just think that's just, you know, extra little motivation for him to get the critics and the people off his back a little bit. And also for him just to step up and make sure that he plays a great brand of basketball.
James, so you don't think that should keep him from MVP, or do you?
No, long as he's, you know, he's producing. But for me, I just think always LeBron James should be the MVP. You know, he's been a man that's constantly in the finals, and, you know, he's proven to be the most valuable player for his team to get him there, and that's where you want to be at the end of the season. And I know the MVP is a regular season award, but I think for whoever the candidate is, if they make it to the finals, and that's, like I said, that's the ultimate goal, I think they should always be the leader. And for myself, I just say LeBron James. But if he's putting up crazy stat lines and you can't deny him the MVP, then that player is well deserving of it itself.
What did you think when Harden actually was traded to Brooklyn and they already had KD and Kyrie? Did you think this was going to work? Because if you want to go back and look at some of the Twitter timelines and what people were saying, that this team is not going to work, there's only one basketball, they're going to be bickering, all this other stuff, people couldn't have been more wrong about this mix. Where were you on this team?
I was like everybody else. I was just waiting to see how it would work out. I mean, for right now, they really haven't had a steady dose of, you know, playing time together. But it just reminds me of when I was in Boston with the Big Three. Like, it was a major sacrifice among Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, and Ray Allen. And the point that they were in their career, it was about winning and doing it right and try to give themselves an opportunity to win a title, and they did so. And if they understand that with, you know, the firepower that they have amongst each other and just the outrage, you know, the best talent that they have combined, they give themselves a good chance. And as long as they continue to play right, don't get bored with the process, and understand that each night is going to be a sacrifice. So every night you're not going to be able to get your numbers, and you got to be okay with that, with the win or with the loss. So if that is expressed to them and they understand that, they stand a good chance of making it to the finals.
Now, there's a lot of talk. The question mark people have about the Nets is defense. You know, can they play good enough defense? You were a defensive stopper. You were a guy that, like, a 3-and-D guy. But when you look at today's NBA, it just seems with the floor so spread, you got so much more space to cover, you can't hand-check anybody, that it's hard. It's a lot harder to stop people now. How is it fair to say today, in today's NBA, that defense wins championships? Or do you think that a team might not be that great defensively, but still can win a championship in today's NBA?
Well, you got to play some defense. So I say, as long as you put up a standing fight defensively and give yourself a chance to get some stops. And with the Brooklyn Nets, they have firepower across the board. So you got guys that can get, you know, 30 apiece. So if you look at those three right there, that's 90 points in itself right there. And the way the league is now, I mean, teams are scoring 100-plus points, and you don't have those low-scoring games. So as long as they put up a fight defensively and get stops when needed, I think they – offensively, they will be able to outlast most teams, because depending on who they're playing against, you're not going to have a steady diet of those scoring players on that team. So you might have one or two, and that might account for just half the points. But with those guys, they're capable of 30 points a piece. So like I said, that's 90. And then you include the role players just chipping in here and there, and they're able to pull out most games scoring-wise. But defensively, like you said, long as they put up some resistance, then they have a chance.
Earlier today, I wrote a column for Deadspin, and I said that Kawhi Leonard has been a bust with the Clippers thus far. Is it too soon to say that? I know it's a year and a half. Okay, they didn't win the championship the first year, but there's some pretty bad numbers about him in the clutch moments of games for the Clippers this year. He's really struggled. Is this going to work out? Is there a real chance that the Clippers will get to the championship or have a chance to win with Kawhi?
Yeah, I think they have a chance. I mean, right now it's just a regular season. You got T. Lou, you know, the head coach now, and I know T. Lou, and he's just getting guys ready, you know what I'm saying, just to have a, you know, a great regular season to put them in a chance for the playoffs, and then they'll worry about that when they get there. Not big on stats, but he does have to be a big contributor for that L.A. team along with Paul George. So right now I'm not worried about the Clippers. I just know in due time when the playoffs come, they'll be ready. And Kawhi, he's a proven player. He's got it done before, and he'll be ready. And it's just a matter of getting you know, the new additions, you know, on the same page, and the guys that's been there, you know, on the same page, and their mindset as far as, you know, erasing the memory from how the season ended last year to right now. It's a new year, and it's a new opportunity for them to do something about it.
I want to ask him about that. You brought up, I know you and LeBron James are buddies, and you think he should win the MVP every year. You thought he should have won last year? During the regular season, his regular season compared to what Giannis did?
Was LeBron James in the finals?
No, it's a regular season award, James.
Here's what I say.
It's a regular season award.
Because we hear you. The finals MVP is the most important because that means you won the championship. But if they, because a lot of people say they should just wait till the, you know, till the end of the finals to give the MVP, right?
Right.
But then it would just be the finals MVP award.
Right. It's like, not about the regular season.
You know what I mean? It would diminish the regular season award, which wouldn't even exist at that point. So that's why we got to – now, I agree with you. It's not in a vacuum. You know, you understand what the guys have done in the past and in other playoffs and all that. But that's why I'm firmly against just making it after the playoffs because it would just be the finals MVP.
Right. So if the regular season award, if the stats, if that's what it's going to be based off and that player deserves to be MVP, okay, give it to him. So now if the player has great stats and their team is not as good, do you still award that player MVP?
So 2 years ago win. when the Lakers didn't make the playoffs, if LeBron had the best stats in the league, you're saying he shouldn't have got the MVP, right?
If that's what, based on what everybody is saying, if you're saying the best stats for the most part, it doesn't matter how far you take your team as being the most valuable player. If that doesn't matter, then yes, you got to put that MVP on the regular season stats, and whoever has the best stats.
Well, and but not just the stats. Your stats have to lead to winning. Bradley
right.
Beal will not get an MVP vote this year.
Right. He won't get one, even though he has.
Milwaukee
had
the best regular season. That's what we're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Giannis.
Because we didn't know at that point, we didn't know Lakers were going all the way to the finals. Bucks were going out early.
Nobody had any idea of that, right?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, nobody had to do. I mean, I'm not trying to take anything away from Giannis. But like I said, it's just one of those topics where you could go back and forth and maybe it's some change to it or maybe not. But if everybody understands what it's based upon, then you shouldn't really have a issue with it, you know, whoever
all right,
wins
MVP.
Poe,
since you being bold, man. Is LeBron the GOAT? I mean, since we go in there, we got a minute. Is LeBron the GOAT?
Chris, what? This is like a layup. Are you kidding? He says he should win the MVP every year, so obviously he's going to say
that.
I
don't know. Pose saw Jordan. So who you got, Pose?
Yeah. I mean, I grew up on Michael Jordan. Was able to compete against him a few times before he got out the league. And for myself, you know, Jordan is the GOAT to me, but LeBron okay. James.
Uh-oh, I'm calling everything. LeBron.
Listen,
I'm calling LeBron. Are you
listen,
kidding me?
Fine. Listen. You could call LeBron James, and like I said, LeBron's body of work has been impressive, his all-around game for the most part. But like I said, I grew up on MJ, and that's what I knew. And so LeBron James, he is in my top three. So therefore,
ooh, so
like
is he two? We got him two.
I would give LeBron James number two, yes.
Who's three?
Kobe?
We got Kareem. I got Kareem. I don't know who Rob got.
Yeah, I don't go with that.
But so, like, for myself, you know, and not just a little bit of, you know, Kareem, you know what I'm saying? You know, he's up there as well. But just not, you know, being able to get the full effect of his body of work, you know, I'm seeing it from afar and just from, you know, old videos and things like that. But, I am a Kobe Bryant fan as well. So just for me, because I was able to see that night in and night out, and it's nothing against those, you know, those other greats and the guys before me and before those players, but I just wasn't able to witness it, you know, for myself.
Pose, good work, man. We put you on the hot seat. Great stuff.
Yeah, we had to after all that LeBron.
You're about to get some texts and some calls and some
after
DMs
all that. After all that LeBron sugar, I got a toothache. My God.
All right, Pose. Great stuff, man. We'll talk to you some other time.
All right. Thanks for having me, fellas. Appreciate
all right,
it.
Brother. Yep. Check him out on the Posecast. That's on basketballnews.com. Odd Couple, keep it locked.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We are The Odd Couple, Chris and Rob. We're coming to you live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. Call 1-888-FARMERS to switch, and you can save a bundle on your car insurance. This will be a quick one, Rob. There's talk. Believe it or not, obviously, everybody's talking about, you know, will the Houston Texans trade Deshaun Watson? Rob, there is talk throughout the league that a team or two is willing to give up its whole draft class. So every pick this year or next year or whatever, and in some cases, two draft classes for Deshaun Watson. Your thoughts?
I just think it's ridiculous. I think we've seen this before where people go overboard. We saw it with the Herschel Walker trade, right? Minnesota and right. Dallas.
Right. And that's what helped Dallas build its dynasty.
Its dynasty, its right. Dynasty. Exactly. Okay. That 100%. And we saw it with Ricky Williams in New Orleans. You remember that? With Mike yep. Ditka was the coach. A disaster.
I think they won two games or four or something. He got fired the next year, Dick.
Right. It was a total disaster.
Right.
Even worse than Ricky Williams in a wedding dress on the cover of whatever magazine that was.
At ESPN, the magazine.
That was just an unbelievable cover.
Yeah, that was bad. That was bad. I felt Ricky, I don't know what he was doing. He might have been, you know, he was one that liked to smoke that stuff.
Yes, he quit football so that he could smoke. You remember that? He went to Tibet.
Didn't know what was going on, right, when he got in that dress. But anyway, I'm with you. Look, as great as Deshaun Watson is, and we acknowledge he's great, Rob, what were they last year? With Deshaun Watson playing lights out, they were 4-12.
Right. He had a great season.
Right. As great as he is, I mean, if you got nothing around him, and he actually had some pretty decent receivers. Obviously, they lost their best one, DeAndre Hopkins. You had a J.J. Watt on the other end, the side of the field. And they still won four games. So, look, as important as quarterback is, Rob, I mean, we do go overboard. Quarterback gets too much credit. Quarterback gets too much blame. But don't get it twisted, folks. It is still a team sport. It really is. And if you have – now, if you're a team that, Rob, is ready to win now – and maybe that's what this team or two is. They really don't need picks. You know what I'm saying? They got everything in place. All we need is a QB. We're young. Our guys are talented. Maybe. But in most cases, I mean, it's very few teams in that situation. So I don't know. I'm with you. That's a ton to give up.
I just think it's too much. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a ton. But we got 2 hours left. It is the Odd Couple, Chris and Rob. Plenty to get into and plenty of good guests, too. Plus trash talk. You know what to do, folks. You got to keep it locked at Fox Sports Radio.